The fifth Sunday of Easter in the year of our Lord, 2024. A reading from John chapter 15. Jesus said, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch of mine that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me, and my word abides in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen. Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Hear the word of the Lord from Isaiah chapter 5. Let me sing for my beloved my love song concerning his vineyard. My beloved had a vineyard on a very fertile hill. He dug it and cleared it of stones and planted it with choice vines. He built a watchtower in the midst of it, and hewed out a wine vat in it. And he looked for it to yield grapes, but it yielded wild grapes. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge between me and my vineyard. What more was there to do for my vineyard that I have not done in it? When I looked for it to yield grapes, why did it yield wild grapes? On Good Friday, we hear a portion of Isaiah chapter 5, the song of the vineyard, during the reproaches, when God reproaches and rebukes us, his sinful people. God's rebuke of us is that though we were choice vines, provided with everything it needed to produce many good fruits, instead, because of our sin and unrighteousness, we produced wild, sour, stinking fruits. We were so sinful, and our fruits were so bad, in fact, that there was nothing left for God to do with us except leave us to destruction and ruin. Though God desired much for us, we could not be his choice vines. So when Jesus says in today's gospel, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser," this should get our attention. Although we were sinful, unrighteous, false vines, God the Father remained the vine dresser. And as the divine vine dresser, he sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to be the true vine. As the true vine, Jesus died to atone for our sins and unrighteousness. That is, he took away from us all the diseases, blights, and bugs that cause us to be bad vines and produce sour fruits. And he died with these to return us to being clean, choice vines, prepared to produce much good fruit. Then still as the true vine, Jesus rose again from the dead to be the life-giving vine forever. Now no longer are we to be vines producing fruit on our own, but in baptism we have been grafted onto the true life-giving vine. Jesus summarizes all of this for us. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Indeed, apart from Christ, our true vine, we are lifeless, sinful vines. We can't earn salvation on our own. Apart from the true vine, even our good works are like filthy rags. Yet by remaining connected to the life-giving vine, you have forgiveness of sins. You have abundant life. You have the promise of everlasting life in heaven. And you even have the guidance of God himself to follow the law and produce much good fruit. So this metaphor of the vine and its branches is overall pretty self-explanatory. We can even see in nature that apart from the main trunk or vine, a branch does nothing but withers and dies, whereas connected branches live and produce fruit because of their connection to the main trunk or vine, because the branch receives all that it needs, its very life, from the main vine. This is all in keeping with just as Jesus further said, if anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. But how do we know that we are abiding in our true vine? Jesus Christ. The evangelist John gives us our answer not here in his gospel, but rather in his first epistle, the portion of which happens to be today's appointed epistle reading. There John says, by this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. So, by confessing that Jesus is the Son of God, this means you are abiding in him as your true vine. And you do make such a confession, each and every week even, when you recite the Creed. As each of the Apostles' Nicene and Athanasian Creeds explicitly confess Jesus to be the Son of God. Even more by the work of the Holy Spirit in you, you abide in Jesus Christ, especially since the Holy Spirit gives you faith to trust in Jesus as your true vine. Further, you abide in Jesus when you testify that God has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. And once again, you do this each and every week, as you come to church to worship and give thanks to God the Father for sending his Son to be your Savior and to be the Savior of the whole world. And finally, by abiding or remaining in love, you also abide in Jesus as your true vine. This abiding in love means loving God above all things, with all your heart, soul, and strength, as well as loving your neighbors as yourself. This abiding in love may seem to be the hardest way to abide in Jesus as the true vine. But again, by the Holy Spirit giving you faith to love God and your neighbors, by worshiping God week after week and being strengthened in worship to love others, and by confessing your faith in God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you are abiding in love. And as if all this wasn't enough, our collect of the day is a prayer asking God to abide in him without using that word, abide. In fact, let us pray it again. O God, you make the minds of your faithful people to be of one will. Grant that we may love what you have commanded and desire what you promise, that among the many changes of this world, our hearts may be fixed where true joys are found. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. So since it can be seen that we are abiding in our true vine, Jesus' final words for us today return to the matter of producing much fruit. He says, "Every branch in me that does not bear good fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me." Notice that simply by abiding in the true vine, you as a branch will bear fruit. And the matter of bearing fruit is not really about what fruits you produce. You see, when it comes to producing fruits, we certainly think of the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. But ultimately, whatever fruits we produce, God will use to his glory. And so rather, the matter of bearing fruits is about what God does to cause you to produce more fruit. And according to Jesus, God, the divine vine dresser, prunes you to produce more fruit. Though a better translation of that word, prunes, is cleanses. God the Father prunes, that is, cleanses you of your sins, selfish works, and stinking, sour fruits, to instead produce the good works prepared for you by the true vine, and to bear much fruit that glorifies your divine vine dresser by serving him and your neighboring branches. And how exactly are you cleansed by the divine vine dresser? Jesus says again, "Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you." So by Christ's word of the Old and New Testaments, by Christ's words of forgiveness and absolution, and by the continued, visible word of baptism and the Lord's Supper, you are already clean, and are even continually cleansed to produce much good fruit. In May of 2025, our California-Nevada-Hawaii district is set to host its regular triennial convention. The theme for this convention has already been announced: Fruitful Branches Pruned for Growth, based on today's gospel from John 15. Now, I've no idea what to expect at a district convention, but I'm excited to be a part of it and even be a voice for confessional integrity and liturgical reverence in our district. But more so, I'm interested to see how the convention theme is applied and understood. Because based on all that we've heard today, this metaphor of the vine and its branches is not about the branches themselves, but about the branches connected to and cleansed by the true vine, pruned by the vine dresser to produce much good fruit. In other words, the emphasis is not on us as the branches, but on Jesus Christ, the true vine, crucified to cleanse us and connect us to him, and resurrected to give us life forever and bear much fruit through us, his branches. Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. To Christ, our true vine, be all the glory forever and ever. Amen. Having heard the word of God, let us confess our faith using the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray. O God, you make the minds of your faithful to be of one will. Grant that we may love what you have commanded and desire what you promise, that among the many changes of this world, our hearts may be fixed where true joys are found. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. God's richest blessings to you this weekend, this week ahead, and as we continue to journey through the Easter season leading up to Pentecost.